We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Joined now by Coach Joanne P. McCauley as she joins us from her home talking about her new book that is out called Secret Warrior and Coach. It's great to be joined with you. I just joked with you a moment ago. I think the last time I saw you, you were coaching against Alabama in women's basketball. How's everything going?
Thank you. Yes, some great memories back as a women's basketball coach and also being a part of the Auburn staff years ago. So I'm very familiar with the whole rivalry, and there's nothing like it between Alabama and Auburn, for sure.
No doubt about it. Well, we are entering into the month of May. This is our first show, Crimson Drive, in the month of May, and that is Mental Health Awareness Month. What can you tell us about the new book you have out called Secret Warrior?
Yeah, Secret Warrior is a mental health journey, and it chronicles my career as 25 years of being diagnosed with bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. And it's been something I've had to compartmentalize and deal with my entire coaching career. And it's also been interesting, some of the methods or philosophy in terms of my coaching, how that's allowed me to compartmentalize. I was 30 years old, and it was after the birth of my first child that I had this diagnosis. And it's also a book about loyalty and the concept of the women at the University of Maine that went through two episodes with me, a manic episode and a depressive episode, and how we had to come together and how we kept winning championships despite all the adversity and just everything that came with that challenge. And of course, that's covered in Secret Warrior. And then the wonderful nature of how people stick together through adversity allowed me to become the coach at Michigan State. And then of course the coach at Duke. So it's an interesting story. It's on Audible and Kindle and all that good stuff now, but it's really a message that I think resonates right now, especially with student athletes, but also with any, you know, any age or any person coming out of the pandemic and the nature of how we have to take care of our brain health.
Yeah, you mentioned that this has been on your mind to write this book for a long time. What made now the right time for you to release this?
Now is the right time because my career was winding down at Duke. And when I was 39, we were in the national championship. This was back at Michigan State. And I thought that maybe I'd have a platform at that time at age 39 to share it. And I was counseled against that by quite a few people saying that that would shorten my coaching career, that through the stigmas and through people not understanding that I may not ever coach again, or I may face some kind of discrimination along the way. So I kind of put it in its box, you know, kind of left it there again with that coaching mentality, because we as coaches definitely compartmentalize. I had great doctors, of course, and support, and then carried on at Michigan State for an amazing 7 years, culminating in that national championship run, and then being able to come to Duke and have some exciting Elite Eights and all sorts of neat championships and things of that nature. But it was time. It just, you kind of know it. and you feel it. And I'm very happy that I was able to step away and be able to write this and share it with as many people as possible, simply because mental health is a continuum and it permeates so many people, their lives, people they know, and we've got to try to make a difference.
You mentioned that years ago, people said, no, don't say anything about this. Don't write this book. Don't come out and speak about it. What is the kind of support, though, you are getting now as you do speak out and write this book?
Well, it's been amazing. And, you know, part of the reason I'm so grateful to be on this talk with you is, I mean, this Zoom is special because Coach Saban, Nick, was the first person to endorse the book. And he did those prior to the season, obviously, that they had. This was way back. I was joking with Linda, if I didn't catch him before the season started, we'd never get the okay for him to do so. So it was really kind of an exciting thing. Obviously, the national championship, I follow Bama very closely. And on the other side, on the women's side, Tara Vanderveer also endorsed it, among others. And then, of course, they won a national championship in women's basketball. And so I was liking the karma of some of the endorsements, whether it was, you know, Coach Saban or Tara or Mike Krzyzewski or whoever. It's sort of a diverse group of people. And getting that support early obviously fortifies the book relative to the personalities and everyone being on the same page, because mental health does not discriminate. And also, mental health might be the only thing that can bring rivalries together. Because remember, I got my MBA at Auburn. I had some coaching in Auburn, and I came into coaching much like Coach Saban as a graduate assistant. And I didn't think I wanted to be a coach at that time. And then I was exposed to such great success. I was able to be a young head coach at 26. So there are a lot of dynamics here that sort of move about, but I am a huge Alabama fan and I'm a huge Auburn fan. And I don't even think I should say that on air. But it's true.
No, we enjoyed it. How far back does your relationship with Coach Saban go? Is it from the Michigan State days that you first got to know him?
Yeah, it's kind of a neat story. I never met him. I came into Michigan State and he had departed. And that was to LSU. The thing about it was the whole way about Nick and what he brought to Michigan State permeated Michigan State long after he left. Relative to the conversations, talking with Tom Izzo, working alongside Tom Izzo, and just listening to how people spoke about Coach Saban. And so immediately he became a mentor to me, sort of a ghost mentor. You know, I never met him. And it was following the philosophies that are so important, the whole process piece, you know, what the understanding the process and understanding some of these ideas, immediacy, intensity, intelligence, and how to apply the eye test and how to remove the clutter, the whole, everything about the no scoreboard mentality, staying in the moment, and his leadership principles. All of these were something that I learned, followed, studied, and applied, and did that so at Michigan State, to the fact of in 5 years, we played for a national championship, which was a lot of fun. And they've kind of been carried through my coaching career and now are actually being carried into mental health education and awareness, which might seem like a leap, but actually it's really not.
Well, it was one of the talking points all throughout the past summer with the pandemic leading into this past school year that these student athletes really need sports to come back just for their mental health sake. And even going through the challenge of playing a season, dealing with all the COVID tests, all the uncertainty, you know, virtual learning. Have you really been feeling for the student athletes over this past year? And are you glad that there's more conversation now about mental health for these athletes?
Yes, I'm very, very glad for more conversation. Overdue. 25 years ago, I couldn't even understand the word bipolar, nor speak it, nor communicate it. And the way I had to communicate with my team was to talk about exhaustion and be very, very careful about the whole situation. Again, the book is really a neat story about loyalty and coming through and winning championships despite adversity. So I will say that as Mental Health Awareness Month, I'm so great to be here. It's so great to be here with you. And recognize that the stigmas must step away. You know, stories over stigmas is one of my foundation beliefs about what we're trying to do, which is tell stories, share stories as much as we're capable of sharing those stories, and then use mentorship. Mentorship matters. I have a little bit of referent power because I'm a coach that's been on a pretty big stage and had a very difficult personal situation. And when I currently talk to student athletes or others, they want to ask me questions about it, the whole continuum of depression and how it affected my life and maybe what nugget I could share with them. And so it's been incredibly rewarding, this experience. And as you may know, suicides are up, self-care is down, routines are disturbed greatly, and young people are reaching and clamoring for their lives as they were. And I don't just think we're going to jump right back to it. I think we have a real transition coming up in the next year to get it right.
Well, for you, you've made the transition from being the head coach at Duke to now it's taking some time away to writing this book. What's kind of next for you? What's the next chapter of Coach McCauley?
Next chapter is to follow Secret Warrior as far as it can go relative to being a mentor and teaching, speaking, doing everything I can to continue through with the message and to be a mentor in this way. It's hard to predict what the future will bring. Again, I'm so grateful again to Coach Saban, not only for him choosing to endorse this book as he did, but for the whole shared stories he's always done in the books, you know, How Good Do You Want to Be? All the books that have come out have been very authentic. You know, everyone knows the story about the gas station and the jokes he makes about Miss Terry and all of that. Everyone knows so much personally about him, but he has shared a great deal and let people in. And I find that remarkable, a person of his stature and the stage that he lives on, how much he's brought in. And I also find it remarkable that he would care about mental health enough to endorse a book by a women's basketball coach who basically, you know, looked to him as a mentor. And he was so gracious about the mentorship, I was invited to shadow him for a day, as I did at Alabama. Now, if you haven't shadowed Nick Saban for a day, you have really not lived. I mean, it was a fantastic experience. And I believe I was one of the few, maybe the only female coach to do so, but to watch the culture and the order and the routine and all of it that went into that day, not to mention practice. I mean, those guys are so big. I mean, it's just amazing how big they are and how quick they are. So I've really been blessed with this full experience with Coach Saban. And now I'm sort of coming around saying thank you and then taking this lead that I have right now to share my story in depth. Yes, very personal. The book is quite personal. There's some really rather tough parts to it, but I think it also is what is needed for us to take another step in great mental health and imagine the best athletes, the best people, and the best mindset, you know, what that does overall for our lives.
Coach, tell us again where fans can go online to pick up the book or in bookstores.
Well, you can go to Amazon and just go ahead and order it there, Secret Warrior. We've got a soft copy, hard copy. I'm a first-time author. I've been told that because I wrote the book myself, I actually qualify as an author, which really does make me happy since I'm from Maine and Maine author sounds kind of cool. But the important thing I want to express is that these books, maybe Coach Saban's books, you know, bring in dollars of great, you know, lengths. But the bottom line is I'm trying to build a foundation. And it's a Secret War Foundation, Coach P for Life Foundation. And just as Nick and other coaches have done with their foundations, this is obviously geared towards mental health and providing grants and opportunity to certain situations. So there's always something in the future. You know, it's a process to get there. I'm at the very beginning of the process. I need not worry about the outcome too much because it seems like it's going to be, take a while, let's just say, to get this foundation where it needs to be. So that's the motivator. And again, the Audible is out in May. We're very pleased about that it would come out during the month of May. And if anyone wants to get in contact with me, you've got my information, and I will definitely respond as I have to many student athletes and organizations, podcasts, and otherwise.
Well, that really sounds good, Coach. We're glad again that Coach Saban has endorsed this book, and certainly thankful for that. And I did want to ask you about Alabama's women's basketball head coach, Christy Curry. I know you've been competing against her for a long, long time, even going back to your days at Michigan State.
Yeah. Now, Christy. Okay. I could talk a lot about Christy. First of all, she's just terrific. And she's so dedicated with her family and what she's done and the success she had in the Big Ten. And without question, yes, coaching against each other. And then I was so thrilled when she was able to come to Alabama, obviously because of new Coach Saban's there. I know the culture. I know how it kind of works. And so I was very, very happy for her. And we've been talking about Secret Warrior, and we've been talking about the role that I'm in now. I'm outside of coaching, but helping and how you can help student athletes when you're off the court. So we've communicated a little bit, but she's a fabulous person and has done some incredible things. And I know men's basketball was rocking it out this year. I mean, let's face it, it's kind of was an Alabama year in every way. And I know that Christy's so proud to be a part of it. And I'm so excited for her program. And it's kind of neat to not be her adversary. You know, it's fun to be more, I'm on her team. Let's just put it that way. Fun to be on her team.
We certainly like hearing that. And before we let you go, I did want to ask you as well, you were able to step away this past year, get to watch a lot of women's college basketball, and it seems like the parity in this sport is as strong as it's been. And there was a lot of discussion about women's basketball in the NCAA tournament, and we had a tremendous tournament on the court, but a lot of issues were raised off the court. Just where do you think the sport's headed next?
Well, I think it's headed in a great direction. There's a lot more awareness. Of course, the WNBA has really picked up. The women there have been incredible leaders and stepped forward with many different conversations. So that's been great. And then at the collegiate level, there's just been much more exposure, you know, more games on TV. You know, ESPN really stepped up there and provided that exposure. And the stories have been amazing because you're right, the parity is there more so. You know, when you look at Arizona, I mean, I just love that team to see what they did. It reminded me of back in the day at Michigan State and what we did at that time. So that was an incredible run. And it's so important to see other teams sort of stepping in and bringing success and sort of diversifying the Final Four a little bit. But there's no doubt the future of women's basketball is very bright, very competitive. And as you say, much more parity. And that just, I don't know if there's football parity. I mean, okay, if we're going to talk football, I don't know. I've pretty much been banking on Bama every year. And so far, I'd say it's pretty good. So I don't know if it's like a football situation. Women's basketball is a little bit different, as is the sport. But it's special. And Christy's doing a great job. And I really appreciate her.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time and talking to us about Secret Warrior. Certainly hope Alabama fans will pick up a copy and continue to learn more during Mental Health Awareness Month during the month of May. But just thank you so much. And can we get a Roll Tide out the door?
Oh, absolutely. Roll Tide.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.